In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The text is the epistle which you heard read, the first reading which you heard read, from Revelation chapter 7, particularly these words. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear fellow saints and fellow mourners here in the valley of the shadow of death, peace to you in Christ. So All Saints' Day, almost half a year opposite of Easter, is a wonderful celebration that has developed over time in the church here to bring us to these realities that draw us into a much bigger picture than we normally see. Normally our lives look, well, kind of small, relatively inconsequential. Our families, you know, there's flaws in our families, problems, troubles, don't always get along perfectly. Our congregation, oh my goodness, I think pretty much every church on earth struggles with budgets and getting more people around the gospel of Christ. Good grief. It's All Saints Sunday. There shouldn't be a spare seat in any faithful Christian church on earth. Everybody should be here. Why would they want to miss this? But the church always kind of looks a little inept, a little weak and struggling. And so we're given on All Saints Day through these words of our Lord a beautiful picture of a fellowship divine, that our lives are not alone. We're not just by ourselves, even though there are times we feel deeply lonely and unloved. We're not alone, and we're not unloved. We are part of a fellowship divine. Yes, we feebly struggle, as the hymn writer puts it, but they, our brothers and sisters, our sons and mothers who have gone before us, they in glory shine, yet all are one in thee, Lord Jesus, for all are thine. Alleluia, alleluia. So think of it. The believers of all generations, the apostles and the prophets and the martyrs, those who were before Christ but believed in his coming, those who were at the time of Christ but trusted him and lived through his death and resurrection, and those who have come in our times, our couple of millennia, who knew of the saving work of Christ and trusted it, received his death and resurrection and their baptism, lived by his body and blood in this wilderness world. They, together with us, are all one body together. We're not alone. It's just that they're on the other side of what we can't see, and we're on this side of it. And one by one, Revelation 7 pictures it, we're coming out, this great army of believers, coming out of this tribulation, this difficult time, which has always been since Christ rose from the dead, coming out of this difficult time into the pure paradise of peace with God, waiting for that final day when they and we will pop out of our graves made whole and new forever. What comfort for the faith. You are not alone. And for our Christian brothers and sisters in exile, those who right now are imprisoned for Christ's name, those who are threatened and mocked and insulted because of their faithfulness to God's word, even in our land. Oh, those lonely faithful suffering in congregations that have all but completely jettisoned the Word of God, and yet there are faithful still in those struggling congregations. They are all with us who believe in Christ, one. One with Kirk, can you see him? He's already there having a blast with our Lord. There with Nancy, who's delighting that our Lord has organized such a feast. There they are, and we're one with them. We are not alone. And so on All Saints Day, we get to look at the realities of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. Because the fact is what we deserve. We deserve to be alone. We deserve to be unloved. We have been very unloving. We have turned our back on the people we promised to love and serve with everything we are and have. And we've said it's their fault because they're not loving enough to us. Oh, how shallow, how small of us. How missing the boundless love of Christ for us. And so our Lord, He cleanses us. He puts on us His white perfect goodness. And He sends us back to our families and to our neighbors and to our friends to serve them in love. And He calls us to see, look what I have done for you. See how in All Saints Day, don't we clearly see Easter? We see what Jesus' resurrection meant. It didn't just mean that the eternal Son of God took on all the sin of the world, all of your sin and mine, even the worst of them that we can think of, the sins that continually come back and attack us. Even these Jesus has paid for and broken through His death and burial and His resurrection to announce that all that sin, it is all canceled and buried away and done in, and that even death, which is certainly headed our way, it has no power over us in Christ. For Jesus did not rise for Himself. He rose for you. He rose to be the head of His body, the head to come first out of the grave, so that the whole body, you who are in Him, will come out of your grave too. He rose so that you will rise and live forever. For your God could not imagine an eternity without you in it. He wanted you. Yes, just you, and also all yous, all people too. But He wants you. He wanted Nancy with Him. He wanted Kirk with Him. He wants you with Him. And so He rose from the dead. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. Jesus is the first fruits of a far better life for all. And that's why, by the way, these saints have white robes. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, His full payment for our sin, His powerful resurrection from the dead. They're cleansed by it all. Amazing blood that turns things white and makes them pure before Him forever. That blood, available to you today in Jesus' gospel, in your baptism as you return to it through confession and absolution, and that very blood that cleanses, that washes away, here for you in His blessed sacrament of the altar to be poured into you, cleansing you from the inside out. So we have Easter here today. We also have Pentecost. Pentecost was the feast of harvest in the Old Testament. It's the first fruits, the gathering of the beginning of the harvest, the guarantee that the big harvest is coming. And here it is. The harvest begins at Pentecost. Believers are brought out of every tribe and language and nation and people, brought into the gospel of Jesus, 3,000 or so baptized that first Pentecost. And the Pentecost is the ongoing age we're in, calling people out of death into life by the good news of Jesus, calling people from every corner of the earth and from every little place where they live. Our Lord's word, powerful, mighty, calling them into Jesus' death and resurrection, into our family. This is the church Catholic in the small c sense. The church of all times and all places, all gathered around our saving Jesus. Oh, the church looks so small some days, but it is not. It is this beautiful body of Christ pulled out by the gospel into one Lord and one faith and one baptism into His death and resurrection. And besides Easter and Pentecost, All Saints' Day also gives us a beautiful transition to the end of the church year. We're now, through the Sundays in November, going to be looking at the end of things here, the coming judgment when our Lord returns visibly on His throne and He divides the believers and unbelievers and gathers you who believe, come, blessed of my Father, into the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So we're seeing our world come unglued, falling apart. We'll see this in these readings in the coming Sundays. Oh, but don't lose heart. Our Lord Jesus has this all under His control. Yes, the seals are popping in the book of Revelation, and it looks like chaos is everywhere. But our Lord reigns in the midst of this, working His good for you, His people. And He's pulling us into this bright future forever. A bright future that really is ours right now as well. Oh, we can't quite see it, but we can hear it. The songs of the saints gone before us, and that their song, the song of Christ who has won this victory, that encourages us for this day and for tomorrow and for all the days our Lord gives us in these last days. So that we, like St. Paul can say, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Isn't that the truth? Wouldn't we put up with even 100 years of suffering, with good things too, to have an eternity, an endless feast with those we love, and with our Lord Jesus Christ in His glory forever? Our troubles here will seem like nothing then. Now they don't. And our Lord knows that, and He suffers with us and bears it with us. But here He gives us the promise. Yes, you too, as you remain in me, you too are those who have washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You too will live with me forever. You too are not alone, for I am with you. You are not unloved, but you are dearly precious to me, your God and your Savior and your brother who reigns. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who began this whole thing and ends the whole thing, who is all of it for us. Let us fix our eyes on Him, that we may not grow weary or lose heart in these dark days. For the fact is, in Christ we are part of a fellowship divine that will not end forever. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.